And take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation, the sixth chapter. And we are on lesson number 19, the anger of God. If you need lesson 19, raise your hand, please. And we have men that will pass those out to you. We have several up here in the front. Lesson number 19, the anger of God. We are covering Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The anger of God. And we are on the sixth seal. We have seen the opening of the first five seals. Lesson number 19, yes. And we are on section 4, dealing with the awful judgments of the book, covering Revelation chapters 6 through 11. And the anger of God, and the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That is our memory verse. That is Revelation 6:17. So let's go ahead and look at that. And we can recite that. You ought to be able to memorize that one pretty easily. And it has a very, very good question at the end of that that verse. And that is, who shall be able to stand? So let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 6:17. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:17. And let's say it again. Revelation 6:17. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:17. Father, I pray that You'll bless our time now, and please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from Your word today. And we do thank You for another year, another opportunity to serve You, another opportunity to be here on this earth and try to make a difference in this world. And I pray that we would consider, Lord, Your wrath, and the only way to get away from that wrath is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that You'll help us to tell people and give them that wonderful good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? We give that verse as kind of a lead-in, even though it is the last verse of the this section. But till now, we've seen the result of man's being unrestrained. The Holy Spirit, of course, indwelling believers. Believers are taken at the rapture. If the rapture would take place today, then we would see the result of these first five seals being open. And we've already studied that. But basically, it is mankind unrestrained. And again, I want to remind you that when we go, the Holy Spirit indwells us. His influence is in us. You know, the reason that, again, you know, if you want to give yourself a pat on the back, it has really very little to do with you and I. It has totally to do with the Holy Spirit of God and His guidance in our lives. But when we're gone, you know, we have influence. We may not think we have influence, but we do. Christians, God's people, have influence. We have influence for morality. We have influence toward the restraint of our flesh. We have influence. Now, we fail like everybody else fails, but we, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, we don't have to fail. And He guides us and He directs us. And the laws in America, the morals from the past, and, you know, certainly America has deteriorated, as all things do. But when we are gone, when the rapture takes place and all believers are gone, that restraint will be off, and it's going to be chaos. Now, you know, the question was asked, is the Holy Spirit still going to be working here in the world? Well, yes, He's, because people are going to get saved, there's no question, but we'll all be gone. You have to understand, His influence will be, if you can just imagine, you take all the Christians out, and it's going to be total chaos. Now, the result are those five seals that we talked about. And there will be death, there will be carnality, there will be carnage, And that is a result of mankind unrestrained. There will be death. There will be slaughter. Again, what is going to initiate that? Well, think of the rapture. It's going to initiate chaos in the world. I mean, all of a sudden, homes are empty. All of a sudden, churches, well, not all, but this one will be empty. It is going to be chaos if you just let your mind dwell on that. And so those first five seals are the result of that. And then people will be getting saved, and people will trust Christ. People who have not heard the gospel, they will be getting saved during that time, and they will be getting persecuted as well. And the first five seals make that very clear, that there will be death. It is going to be death and chaos. And so we come now to this passage, this wrath of God, the anger of God. And the question is asked, who shall be able to stand? Now God's anger is going to be seen. God's wrath is going to be seen. Why? Because there is judgment coming and man is guilty. God's people, the Jews who've rejected him, they are guilty, but all mankind stands guilty. And so the great day of his wrath, you know, God is a God of love. God is a God of grace. Praise God for his amazing, amazing grace. And God is so good. And we talk about that, but do not misunderstand, folks. God's wrath is coming. His wrath, his anger is coming. Look back at Psalm 76 and verse 7. Psalm 76 and verse 7. And again, we will go back and look at verses that prophesied of this day and of these days. And certainly, there is no way in this world anybody who has ever read the Word of God could miss the anger of God. It is not. You are in denial if you deny the wrath of God Almighty. Psalm 76, 7, even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? And again, the idea that, oh, you know, God is just a great big old lovable teddy bear kind of a, you have not read your Bible. God is a God of anger. He is a God of wrath. You know, we are in a day of so much shallow Christianity. Nobody wants to talk about it because people get so bent out of shape when you talk about God's anger. And yet, we just celebrated Christmas. And I'm sorry, but it Christmas goes back to God's anger. Because that's why Jesus came, to die on a cross so that we could be spared from the wrath of God. We deserve the wrath of God, but Jesus died for us. And so, again, we now face the anger of God. I've actually heard people say, oh, you know, God's not angry. God's not, you know. And it's like, you are not reading the same Bible that I'm reading. And by the way, this is such a strange, unique scene. I thought by way of introduction, I would point it out because it is just such a such a strange scene that unfolds here in chapter 6. Verse 16 kind of sums it up, and we'll talk about it when we get there, but at the end of it, it says, from the wrath of the Lamb. That is such a strange, strange statement and a strange, unique scene because lambs don't get angry. You know, the roar of the Lamb. That vicious Lamb. You just don't ever, you can't even get that in your mind. I mean, lions. The other night, I don't remember who somebody said something about the lions and the tigers and the bears, and a little child somewhere in the back said, "Oh my, And that was kind of cute. But anyway, lions get angry. They roar. Bears, they get angry. Tigers, they, boy, they're, rah, you know. But a lamb? Can you even imagine a lamb snarling? It's so foreign. And I got news for you. Honestly, it's hard for us because we know his love. I think this jumped out at me so much is because I know his love. I've had him wrap his arms around me and comfort me in time of trouble. I've known his peace so many times when there's a storm. I've known his tender care as a mother would wipe the brow of a fevered child. You know, I've known him that way, and it is very, very hard for us to imagine the wrath of the Lamb. But do not misunderstand, that wrath is coming, exactly how God said. Isaiah chapter 2, again, this is all kind of introduction. That's why I left that space between the memory verse and Roman numeral 1, so you could just kind of write down some of your thoughts there or some of the things that I've said. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 20, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. You have to understand that, you know, the way Hollywood mocks our Lord, the way religions mock our God, the way so many make fun, in that day, you understand the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. He is God. And when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth, prophesied. Isaiah 24, verse 19, another passage. And we could give you many, many, many of the wrath and anger of God. Isaiah 24 and verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. It shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Matthew 24. And again, over and over and over again, you know, this is not the God that the Lamb to us that we have grown to love, and he's been there when we were in the hospital, and he's been there when we were at the funeral home, and he's been there when we received bad news, and he's been there at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning, and this is not what we're used to, and yet this is what the Bible says. This is what is going to happen. Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And again, that we've talked about that. But all of this is prophesied in Scripture. These things are going to take place. I've broken this section down into three groups. There will be a quaking. Number two, there will be a shaking. And number three, there will be no mistaking. And it's inevitable. It will happen. Again, the five seals have been opened, and now we're going to open the sixth seal. In fact, the wording under Roman numeral 1, verse 12 is, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. When he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. There will be a quaking. This opening of the sixth seal, everything else, there's death everywhere. There's bloodshed. There's carnage. There's, you know, people are killing one another. They're they're trying to survive. They're looking for food. They're taking over people's homes. Our homes will all be empty if, you know, those where there were Christians there, they'll all be empty. The businesses will be empty. It'll be total, complete chaos. People will be stealing. Man will be seen as man really is. And then God, His wrath. And it starts off with an earthquake. Again, the prophecy said God would shake the earth. You can hear scientists. When I first became a pastor years and years ago, I preached about earthquakes. I don't remember the title. It might have been Earthquakes in Divers Places or something like that. But I talked about, no, I think it was When God Shakes the Earth was the title. Because, you know, scientists will tell you about the plates and, you know, how the plates do their thing and all this stuff. And, you know, nobody wants to say that God just shakes it. And yet, the Bible indicates He does. Now, He may use the plates. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Or maybe when He shakes it, the plates all move. I don't know. But I can tell you this. God is able to do anything God wants to do with this planet. And earthquakes are one of the signs the Bible talks about more and more that we would see. I think it's interesting. Earthquake activity, and if you know, I don't know if it's earthquake.com or what it might be, but if you looked up earthquakes on the internet, you would find a lot of information that would be very interesting. Of course, March 2011, we had the earthquake that hit Japan, and I believe that was the fifth largest earthquake that has ever hit, and it did the most damage. Of course, again, depending on where an earthquake takes place, the population, buildings, and all that, what type of buildings, though Japan would be considered a modern country, and buildings that are built better than certainly some of the other areas that where earthquakes hit. But the most damage of any earthquake, that was March of 2011. January of 2010, the earthquake in Haiti. Second most deaths ever of an earthquake. Of course, the resulting tsunami, which is something we thought about only because of the recent earthquakes and tsunamis that took place. Most of the time, we don't talk about that. We really don't. And yet, there are our East Coast and our West Coast have tsunami preparations already based upon different ideas of these earthquakes taking place and result of these earthquakes taking place causing huge tidal waves or tsunamis that would be devastating, as we've seen. You know, we've watched, and now because of video accessibility, people's phones, wow. I mean, we've seen the tsunami in Japan, the tsunami in Indonesia. That was one of the most gripping things I think I've ever seen. Again, that was a result of the Indian Ocean, Sumatra area. An earthquake shook, and the ocean, it was like a splash. I mean, it'd be like throwing a rock in a pond, but I mean that jolt causes those waves to build and build. And we watched that in 2004. How many of you remember that? And just, I mean, just unbelievable, this wall of water, and you're not going to stop it. No human can stop that thing. And again, that was 2004. That was the sixth most damage, the third largest earthquake. That was just in 2004. So that was 2004. 2010 was Haiti. These are ones we would remember probably the most. 2011 was Japan. 2008 in China, third most damage. 2008, that was in China. 2010 in Chile, fourth most damage ever. And so again, you know, we're seeing a lot of earthquakes, and they're big. Big earthquakes. Lots of people die. Lots of damage. And what can man do about nothing? I can't remember. I was going to look this up. I read this a couple of years ago about the, there is a mountain, I believe, somewhere off the coast of Africa. It's on an island. And this mountain is about to fall. I don't know if it's a mountain, the top of the mountain. I don't remember. It may be a volcano. But anyway, if that were to fall a certain direction, they say the tsunami from that, This is in Africa. That splash that would take place will cause waves to bring tidal waves on the east coast of the United States of America. That's just hard for us to imagine. And you know, what are we going to do? Well, we have buoys out there that are floating to tell when those waves get big, and that'll tell us, but so. I don't remember how high the waves, how much storm surge there was with the most recent storm that went into New York City, but 10 feet? Does that sound right? Does anybody know? It wasn't that high. I mean, it is high, but I'm just saying not what we would think. So 10 feet, and literally, I mean, people's lives totally destroyed. I mean, homes, everything gone. Try to imagine a 20-foot tidal wave. Try to imagine, and you don't stop those things. You don't, the water just, it just rises. And I mean, devastation. It is hard for us. And yet, when the Bible talks about these judgments of God Almighty, and just from a shake, just a shake. Okay, if you could imagine in any kind of a body of water, you just do that, you know, in your sink, just with your finger, do that, and you watch the ripples. Try to imagine, you know, the ocean and that jolt and the wave that just builds and builds and builds and builds. It's just hard to imagine. So the earthquake, to me, earthquakes, it's the power of an angry God. It's a power of a God. Now, you say, why do you say that? Well, let me just show you. Exodus 19 and verse 18. Look up biblical. And I just wrote a couple down. Look up biblical earthquakes. Exodus 19 and verse 18. And I'm certainly not trying to, you know, these people are doing this, and so God sent an earthquake. I think, obviously, we could go back, you know, well, the West Coast, remember the earthquakes that took place, and the baseball game was all messed up because of the earthquake and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And, well, it's because of the homosexuals. And I'm not saying that, okay? I don't know that. I don't have to see an earthquake to know God is angry about homosexuality. Amen? Because the Bible tells me that. I don't care what the politicians tell you. I don't care what the liberals all say. I mean, I know how God feels about the sin of homosexuality. There's no question about that. I also know how God feels about the sinners. And he sent his son to die for them. So I have no problem with any of those kind of things. And I don't know, you know, God's wrath and God sending Katrina into New Orleans because of all the wickedness and vile thing. You know, I don't know about any of that kind of stuff. That's up to God. I'm just telling you this. God, in Exodus 19, verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. You have to understand, that is a God who is giving a law that he knows that man is not going to keep. That is a God and a God with the law. That is a picture of the law. You know, anytime somebody starts thinking, you know, I'm going to work my way to heaven, you ought to go back to Sinai and check out the law. Check out the law that God said, here is my law. And then try to say that, I'm going to work my way to heaven because I do a lot of good things. Not possible. I mean, we don't even want to go near that thing. Yeah, you know why? Because that's a wrathful, angry God. And that's God's law that you cannot keep. Yeah, that's why it's so frustrating in our world today with the way religion has become. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, let's all just have fun with the old man upstairs. You know, I go back to Mount Sinai, and there is no old man upstairs dealing with that. So God gave the law, and there was an earthquake. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. I really have to move along. I get to preaching, you know. It's hard not to when you're a preacher. 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And, of course, this is after Israel killed God's prophets. Of course, Elijah is having a hard time with all that. And there's an earthquake, though. Israel killed the prophets. Prophets preached. The people said, we don't want anything to do with it. And they killed them. And Elijah was going through a little bit of a woes me kind of a time. And, you know, it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, you know, I mean, what's wrong with him? Why didn't he just trust the Lord? You know, why don't we just trust the Lord? So don't be too hard on him. But, boy, God, you know, God, an earthquake. Again, God, why are you letting your prophets be killed? God says, and just shakes things up. God doesn't like that. Do you understand? God does not like it when his prophets are killed. God does not like it when his prophets are not listened to. God does not like it when his prophets are attacked. He never has liked it. Well, why doesn't he deal with it? Oh, he will. Oh, he will. But again, here's an earthquake at when Israel killed the prophets. How about Matthew 27:51? Matthew 27 and verse 51. And you recognize Matthew 27 as the crucifixion. Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Again, at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for what? For our sin. And again, an earthquake. And of course, the familiar story, Acts 16:26, and one of my favorite stories. I love all of Acts, but Acts 16 and 17, the excitement is so good. Acts 16:26, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And of course, Paul and Silas had been beaten, had been jailed, started to praise the Lord, and God said, I'll just get you out of there. And somebody said it was because they couldn't sing. Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this, you know, God is angry. Don't beat up his men. What about all the martyrs? And let me tell you, God is angry about those things, and God will deal with those things. If Elisha will come around a group of young people and they'll say, go up, thou bald head, and they'll mock his head, and they'll mock his teacher, his leader, who went up, and they'll mock that very instance of a chariot of fire come, and they're going to mock the things of God like that. If God will send two she-bears to destroy them, do you suppose God is going to just keep putting up with this stuff? Well, he's not. And an earthquake. Revelation, it's nothing new to have earthquakes in Revelation. You'll see that is going to be a common thing. It's the judgment of God. Revelation 8:5 says, the angel took the censer, filled it with fire, the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Chapter 11, verse 13, we have an earthquake. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And there again is an earthquake. Revelation 16 and verse 18. It says, there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And each of these times, we have to understand that God is angry. God is shaking the earth. And so a sign of God's anger are these earthquakes. The sun, the Bible says here in Revelation 6 and verse 12. What time is it anyway? See, and you get a new watch and it doesn't matter. It just keeps going. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come, go ahead and receive an offering. That'll be good. Let's move on, though. I want to cover this. The Bible says in verse 12, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, you know, this whole passage, there is going to be speculation, and there's lots of things to think about. But the sun being, as the Bible says, became black as sackcloth of hair. Sackcloth of hair is referring to a sack of black goat's hair, and that is very, very black. Now, you know, you and I, we don't think about that as being that big a deal until it would happen to us. And I promise you, if the sun all of a sudden were black, you would have a problem with that. We would all have a problem with that. You know, every day that you get up and there's light, well, hopefully you get up before there's light in the winter. Anyway, but when the light starts to come, it's a wonderful time to thank God. It is a wonderful time to say, thank you, Lord, for the sun. And at night in Michigan, when there are no clouds, maybe twice in the whole winter, and you see the moon, you know, thank God it's not red like blood. Thank God that it's there and it's providing light from the reflection of the sun, light in the night. But anyway, what is the blacking out of the sun and the moon turning red? What in the world is that, because of the earthquake and all the dust? Some would say that. Is it because the earthquake is part of a volcano? And many remember the ashes from Mount St. Helens and other volcanoes, and they talked of the ash and the dust and it blotting out the sun and causing the moon to have a funny color and all of that. Anyway, we'll deal with some of those things later on. But obviously there is darkness, the sun being black. Can you imagine anything any darker than the sun being black? I mean, that is pretty dark. And we do have instances of this happening in the Scripture. Exodus 10 and verse 21. I just want you to, we're going to read them and you can write them down. Exodus 10. And verse 21, and so as we see earthquakes throughout Scripture, we do see darkness, the sun blackened. Exodus 10 and verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, and watch this, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Now you come into the city, and at night it's never really dark. Do you know what I'm talking about? Unless like the 1 year several years ago when the power grid went out, and there was, I mean that's just unique when it's really that dark. You go out in the country, and you can turn off all your lights, and it can actually be pretty dark. But you know, there's always seems to be some light, you know. There's always seems to be some kind of light. And so it's never this darkness that can be felt. But you go in a cave. How many have ever been in a cave? Yeah, and you go way in the cave and you turn off all the lights. I mean, it's like the darkness is pressing on you. I mean, you can almost feel it. And so during the plague, one of the 10 plagues, as God was releasing, getting his people out of Egypt, again, what is God doing? God is taking care of his people, and he's angry. He's angry. Matthew 27, verse 45, we were there just a little while ago, so you kind of have an idea, another time of darkness. Matthew 27 and verse 45. And the Bible says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and that again is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that darkness again, you know, it's a phenomena. It's not the way it normally is. It's not how people are used to. And these are some of the things that are going to take place as the result of God's wrath. These are things that already we've seen: an earthquake, the darkness. We've seen these things, and we can associate them certainly with the wrath of God. God is angry. Of course, Jesus takes your lie, takes my discouragement, he takes our sin on him, and he is crucified, and the darkness comes to the earth. Joel chapter 2 gives us, again, some the prophet Joel talks about these things. Joel 2 and verse 30, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And again, Matthew 24. Now, you know, again, speculation. Okay, well, is this the result of dust? Is this, did an asteroid, I'll spend some time, we'll talk about asteroids hitting, meteors, large objects. We'll talk about nuclear war, and certainly there is reason to believe that much of the prophecy is a description of nuclear weapons and nuclear war. Matthew 24 and verse 29, again, we've gone here many times. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. We'll get into that here in a few minutes. Well, in a few days. Wow. I mean, it is hard to... When the Bible talks about stars falling from heaven, you know, we immediately think, but oh, look, I see a falling star. Isn't that nice? Oh, look, there's an... That is not what he's talking about. Now, some would say those are missiles. There's speculation, all that. All I know is when something falls from heaven, understand it's going about 30,000 miles an hour. I don't know how... Doesn't matter how big it is, does it, at 30,000 miles an hour? I'll tell you this much. If it's the size of a house at 30,000 miles an hour, just the size of a house, an average-size house at 30,000 miles an hour, it is as powerful as the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima in World War II. Now, understand, that's one pretty small chunk. It's not a very big chunk. When you start talking about stars, now they burn up. You have to understand they're a certain size and they burn up going through the atmosphere, and a lot of them are. But understand the size of just the size, not the size of this building, but the size of a house is equivalent to the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima in World War II. That's just one. Now, again, well, you know, I think we just ought to all just love each other and hold hands and put your hand in the hand of the man, you know, and the old man upstairs, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Understand, folks, the day of his wrath is coming, and it is not going to be a fun time. It's not a party. It's like people say, well, when I go to hell, I'll party with all my friends. And no, hell is not a fun place. Amen. Anyway, I don't know, the more I study this, the more in awe I am at our God, and the more foolish I think we are as men, honestly.